Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
In the days after Jesus' death, two disciples find themselves on a lonely road to Emmaus when a stranger appears. The walk to Emmaus is a journey we will still take every day. Jesus challenges us to live with awareness of the holy all around us in our travels through life. And now, let me share with you Luke 24:13-35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So we went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread."
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who walks with us on the road of this life. Amen. I heard a story about, a funny story about three sisters, age 98, 96, and 92, all living together. The oldest filled a bath and stepped in and then suddenly stopped. She couldn't remember if she was going in or going out. So she called out to the 96-year-old sister, "Come help me," she said. "Okay, I'm coming," and halfway up the stairs, she stopped. She couldn't remember if she was going up or going down. So she called out to the 92-year-old sister. She said, "Help me." And the 92-year-old said, "I think I can go up and help you, knock on wood." And then she paused. And the middle sister said, "Are you coming?" She said, "As soon as I answer the door." Today, I want to talk to you about walking with Jesus and dealing with our fears and worries along the way. Many of us today believe in Jesus, but life seems so heavy sometimes, so full of problems, that we forget that Jesus or God is walking with us and has given us many promises. Sometimes we can become so forgetful, like forgetting how to walk and just talk and enjoy what's around us, how to walk without hurrying and looking constantly at our cell phones. And I remember before the lockdown, people would actually walk down the street with a phone pressed to their ear or scrolling across an iPad, moving their fingers to post a tweet, or walking for the sake of walking was just a lost art, another way of getting things done. The pandemic indeed did slow us down to walk in nature more, because we were, after all, this locked up, and we thought that that was just a grand thing to do, to be able to go out and walk with our family. It was nice to reminder to slow down in life, to pay attention to things that really mattered. Post-pandemic, I hope that we have changed and we continue to do that, but I don't know, have they? Are we still walking in life, full of all kinds of worries and distractions, and not sensing the holy beside us? This morning we read that in the walk with Jesus, the disciples were filled with worry. We learn that it's really more than just a walk. It's really a walking with awareness, paying attention to the details. Just as the disciples were on the road to Emmaus, we are on some kind of road in our lives, wherever we think we're going. Here's the thing, when we are traveling along the road of life and in the middle of all kinds of worries and concerns, do you expect that something big is coming your way? And moreover, are you watching where you're going on the walk? Jesus understood that walking with him can be a holy practice. Walking is something he did a lot in his lifetime. Jesus could have chosen to ride, you know, he could have been on a horse or even a camel, but he walked, and he walked a lot. And as he walked, he was always teaching people, his disciples or those who are following him, observing things all around him and telling stories about rocks and dirt and trees and olive trees and bushes and birds of the air. Jesus preferred, you see, to feel the ground with his feet, to deal with the dust and an occasional pebble in his sandal. It kept him, I think, connected to the earth, to creation, connected to the holy and everyone that was around him. Someone said to me the other day, "I'm getting back into my garden and I'm digging in the dirt and it feels so good." And I would agree. The earth indeed connects us energetically to the Creator. And children seem to know this. I went to the shore a couple of weeks ago with Lindsay and the girls, and it was a particularly windy and chilly day. When it's 65 here, I think it's 58 on the shoreline. The first thing the little girls did was to take their shoes off, preferring to put their toes in the sand. "Come on, Nani, put your feet in the sand with us." Well, it was a little too cold for me that day. But then we went back to the shore last week when I had my week a few days off on the weekend. And that day that it hit 90 degrees, you remember? Now, it was too cold to get in the water, although they put their feet in the water. But that was the day that I put my feet in the sand. There's something about putting your feet in sand or on the earth, in the grass, that energizes me. It energizes the body and the soul. Beach walking is something I love, but I also love to hike. Whenever I hike in nature with Bella, my dog, or go to the beach, it does something for my head. It just clears my head. And this is where I remember things that I might have forgotten. But what do I really expect? Do I expect something big to happen on those kinds of walks besides just getting a clear head? Well, sometimes I get some amazing ideas that pop in my head as we're walking along, as if they are waiting for me somewhere in the woods. It slows my pace and it allows me to see things like birds and a child laughing in the park, or trees, the crunch of leaves under my feet. When I worked in the city of Hartford and walked a lot, I saw the beggars on the street. I saw their faces. And as I walked by and the steam that comes from the underground in cities, I saw pigeons on the sidewalks. But wherever I walked, I tried to be conscious of what I was seeing. But was I really expecting something holy in those faces that I saw? Something holy in the parks with the children, or in the trees and the squirrels and the birds? Sometimes I think I caught glimpses of the holy when I'm not distracted. You see, there's a difference between riding through a city or a town and walking in it. If Jesus had chosen to ride, the world would have just been a blur. But he would have looked like he was above them in some way. But he preferred to walk in the cities and to walk on water even, to walk on the mountains and the dusty roads, and then is when he could notice the details. And I had to ask myself, am I noticing the details when I get to walk? That's how Jesus lived, though, and how he encourages us to live. He challenges us to stroll through our lives, enjoying each moment of the journey and noticing the holy moving in and around us at every moment. In this passage today, we learn that walking with Jesus is not only good for the body, but it is good for the soul. But when you are distracted by many things, you won't catch the message waiting for you as you walk through the woods or on the shore or in the parks of the city. The disciples didn't have cell phones, but they had a lot on their minds to distract them. But they weren't listening in their walk because of the worries that they had. They just couldn't remember anything that Jesus had told them before he died because they were so distracted. And they seemed to be complaining a lot. Indeed, cell phones and thoughts of worry and even complaining can be a distraction from remembering what God said, remembering the promises that God has given. I just wonder if they had prayed a familiar psalm like Psalm 23, if things could be different for them. One of the most powerful ways to pray, you see, is praying God's promise. You can do a self-study and look up all kinds of promises in the Bible. Or you can download an app that was given to me actually this week, the Jesus Person Pocket Promise Book. You can download that on your cell phone, or you can actually just order it from Amazon by David Wilkerson. 800 promises of God are in that little book. Your words are powerful, especially in times of darkness. Praying God's promises is a powerful tool. But sometimes we use our words to complain, to tell God about the problems that we have, instead of remembering God's promises in the middle of our problems. On your walk of life, do you use your words to remember those promises? Things like, God, you said I am blessed and not cursed. God, you said that I would have a long life and that you'll satisfy me. God, you said that your favor is not for a season, but for a lifetime. God, you said that you would supply all my needs. You see, when you say, God, you said, all the angels of heaven are listening, and God is faithful to his word. When our children were small, they begged us to take them to an amusement park or some county fair in Dallas, Texas, where we lived at the time. And whenever that big fair would come to Dallas once a year, it was huge. We promised that we would take them, but they never stopped reminding us of our promise either. Mommy, you said that you would take us to the fair. Daddy, you said. This would go on and on for days and days until finally we got so frustrated we said, okay, we're going to go. Isaiah 62 says this. Put God in remembrance of his promises. The Amplified Version says it this way. You who profess the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest from your prayers until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise on the earth. Your Jerusalem is your safety. Your Jerusalem is your wholeness. Your Jerusalem is your health, prosperity, abundance, and joy. Give him no rest until he establishes that in your life. God wants your life to flourish so that others can see what's happening because of the God you worship. And they see what's happening in your life. The disciples' leader, Jesus, had been arrested, tried, and executed just days earlier. They had heard the tale that the women told them about going to the tomb and it was empty. And now they were just journeying to another town. And we're not sure why they were journeying to another town. Perhaps they just needed to get away from all of that, to think, to be somewhere where they felt safe. Where's their Jerusalem? That didn't hold so many painful memories for them. And so they walked. We share this with those early disciples today, don't we? We just want to be safe from the painful realities of this life. This is when you remind God of his promises in prayer. Often we pray and we just tell God about our troubles, like the disciples as they walked along. It's okay to tell God your troubles. That's fine. There's no problem with that. Luke tells us that the stranger came and walked alongside of them. They then started to tell the stranger about their troubles, but about Jesus and his wonderful works and his death and the empty tomb. Yet all the time they were walking, they don't realize the man they're talking about is journeying with them. Telling your problems is not wrong to God when you pray. It just won't bring you any peace. This is how our own cares and concerns can blind us to the presence of the holy in our midst. We are distracted and we are fearful and worried about our loved ones, our bank accounts, our jobs, and we just want to get on with our lives. Our minds and hearts overloaded by the noise outside of us and within us keeps us from seeing on our journey. We move forward, but we miss the scenery and the holy who is walking in our midst. This is how we get pulled down so easily into despair. We want to tell God our problems instead of reminding God of his promises. God knows your problems. He wants to help. He wants us to keep praying the promises over and over. Why? Because this is powerful. Words are powerful and can literally shift us in our thinking. Take no rest until he establishes you. Those words of promise begin to shift your mindset. Like the child who says, Daddy, you said. God, you said that we would be fruitful and multiply. God, you said that we would have joy again. God, you said that I would be living a life with abundance of health and goodwill and prosperity. When we say the promises, he will establish us. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but somewhere in the journey, God will establish us. Maybe not exactly how we want it, but better. Jesus invites us today to open our spiritual eyes because we are on holy ground and on a holy journey all the time. Jesus is walking right beside you and with you and among us. But sometimes there are potholes in the road along the way. Are you in a pothole today? Don't get stuck in a pothole. Don't get stuck in the pothole of confusion. Don't get stuck in the pothole of despair or failure or boredom or worry or anxiety, sickness or regret. Don't get stuck in the pothole of fear. God, these gas prices are getting so high, I don't know if I can afford this. God, food is costing so much, I don't know if I'll get what I need. God, this idiot, my boss, I work with is keeping me from progressing. God, there's too much competition, and I'll never find a job. No, God already knows what you need. Don't get stuck in the potholes of life. All of us are walking along in life and so easily can stumble into one of those potholes that robs us also of our peace. But no matter where you are on your current journey, just know this. God is with you here. God is with us. The Holy walks with you, often in disguise, opening you up to another world, giving you new insight, new ideas, new ways of being, hope, and living in this world when you remember God's promises. So don't turn your walk with God into a self-pity session. That's another pothole. That's only going to make you more discouraged, and you won't even notice that he's been walking beside you and the miracles are in and among us. You want to turn things around in your life, go to a promise that you can stand on, even if it's just one. Find that promise and stand on it and remind God over and over. And often you'll find God has been trying to show you all along the best you see is just ahead of us, not what's behind us. The best in life is just ahead. You'll find, like the disciples, that your heart starts to burn when you hear the word of God, which is written in your heart. And after he spoke, you see, to those disciples, he did a disappearing act. Poof, he was gone. That's because, you see, Jesus was beginning to show them and us that we need to tune in. We see him in the spirit and in relationship and remembrance of him. When we tune in, we see him in worship every day. When we tune in, we see him in places we didn't imagine, like in the face of a beggar or a child on the street. When we tune in, we remember his promises. When God begins to set things in motion, as we remember his promises, we don't often see what God is doing behind the scenes. He is working behind the scenes to bring things into your favor. The world around the disciples was bleak as they walked along, but they would soon see that just ahead it was better. They felt a connection to this stranger, so they invited him into dinner, and that's a secret key in this scripture reading today. They invited him into a place of intimacy. And suddenly they would see in him the familiar. When Jesus broke the bread and he blessed it and gave it to them, their spiritual eyes were opened. It was a holy moment, if you will, and they would see him because no one did that with them except him. Jesus is alive. All that they had promised came true. That he had promised. Even when he saw them behind closed doors, there was one disciple who had doubt, and it was that one that Jesus went after first. Because you see, you can have doubts in your mind, but your faith is in your heart. And he helped him to see. When you put God in remembrance of his promises, that's when your spiritual eyes are open and allows God to bring those promises to you. So here's a little recap. Today, invite him to come and have a time with you, to walk with you. When you don't feel well or you are worried about many things, don't fall into those potholes. Instead, pray. Pray for all your problems, yes, but put God in remembrance of his promises. God, you said you would restore me and I would live. It's easy to let others hold you up in times of laughter and fellowship and conversation around a table at the beach and in nature. It's all good. But to realize that the holy things that seem to be hidden or disguised when we are away from those settings That is the challenge for us today. Let your walks with God become a holy encounter in which you see with your spiritual eyes and heart is open, trusting God to redeem all things. One day, instead of saying, God, you said, you're going to say, God, you did. You restored me. You vindicated me. You helped me. You brought that new job to me. You brought a new relationship to me, a new home. You restored my marriage, our community, and our church. Praise God for the holy journeys that we are on together, and take hold of those promises and remind God again and again and again as we now turn to prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to come into our minds and into our hearts.